Blog Talk Radio.
Caller, let me help you.
My roommate isn't wearing.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Don't let your woman drive you crazy. Today, more men are serving a woman more than God. Men seek to please women to get sexual gratification, to get comfort and rest to their souls. Women do many evils to men that turn men mad. How can this be avoided? How can a man, which is the head of a woman, keep his sanity? This is what we're going to be talking about today. This is a very serious issue, because men are supposed to be the head of their houses. They are supposed to be the head of their homes. Every man's house is supposed to be his castle, and he's supposed to be king, and his wife is the queen. But why isn't this so? How do you keep your sanity in this wicked, perverse world, this wicked, perverse nation? Well, guess what? The scriptures have the answers, and we're going to give them to you today. Well, I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Kings and Priests, where always we seek to elevate our people to the level of saints, as men and women of the Lord, as we were called to be. I'm your brother Godawan here in London, as always. And first of all, we have the executive producer, the brother Abadja. Abadja, you want to say a few words to the people?
Yeah, I just want to say shalom. I want to give all praise and thanks to Heavenly Father in Christ for the opportunity to do another show. And hopefully everyone will be edified from the scriptures and the example of Jesus Christ.
All praises, all praises. And another special brother who we have with us, who we always blessed to have with us on the Sabbath, we have the brother Zach in the ATL. Brother Zach?
Hey, shalom to all the brothers over there in the UK. This is your brother Zach over here in the US. On the Sabbath, giving all praises to the Heavenly Father for another opportunity to participate in the show. And, you know, I looked at the show title, and the first two words that came to my mind when I read it was, uh-oh. You know, so this looks like this is going to be a really charged up show. And but nonetheless, it's a show, it's a topic matter that must be explored so that both men and women get the edification as to how they're supposed to conduct themselves and how they're supposed to be within the body of Christ right here.
Absolutely. And, I mean, first and foremost, this goes out to brothers and sisters that call themselves followers of Christ. Because a lot of people are going to be able to identify, but they're not going to really be able to come to that level to really do anything about it until they repent. So we hope and pray for that through, you know, through the edification of the scriptures, that they, get that understanding to come and see that the scriptures are going to be beneficial to their lives. But first and foremost, the judgment in the scriptures is going out to the church on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. Now, I want to start off by going and showing the power that men have from the beginning. So let's go to Genesis 3:26, because there's been a role reversal. Instead of the man having the power, the men is giving all their power to the woman. I mean, all their power, all their strength is going to the woman instead of going to the Heavenly Father. It's being redirected. And this is a satanic doctrine. You know, you have people singing songs, "I'll drink your bath water," and all this kind of thing. You know, these aren't good things that they're putting out in the world, good messages that they're putting out in the world. They're actually evil, wicked, perverse messages. Because the scriptures have the answer. And, you know, Kazakh said, uh-oh, but it's not uh-oh, because the word of the Lord is right. So that's not a uh-oh. That's something that we have to be quiet and listen to what the word of the Lord says, and we'll be better off. But let's start from Genesis 3:26. Someone get that and read it for me, please.
Are you saying Genesis 4:26? Because Genesis last verse is 3:24.
Sorry. It's probably 2:26, sorry.
Right. Genesis chapter 2, verse 26. You sure, brother? Because it stops at Genesis 2:25.
1:26, sorry.
Okay.
1:26, that's what I want.
Here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
So, stop right there. So, who was man made in the likeness of?
God Almighty.
Okay. What that likeness is, I mean, that's a class that can only be taught to someone that's in Christ, because you're not going to get it. But just to summarize it, that image is not the image of facial features or, you know, the hue of skin. It's talking about righteousness. The Lord created us to be upright. He created us to be righteous. He created us to be moral. That's his likeness ultimately. Okay, the Lord is all 100% righteous. The Lord is perfect. The Lord is pure. The Lord is holy. That's what we was created to be. We wasn't created to be these hungry, horny, crazy, we wasn't created to be that. We was created to be righteous on this earth and deal righteously with one another and deal righteous with the earth, with the animals, with everything. It's only because envy of the devil that we fell, and through sin we fail. According to the scriptures, we're not even supposed to be working. Not like how conventional work and how we're working now. That's a curse from God. Everything was prepared for us, and we lived in paradise, but we wanted more. But carry on. So we had power over everything, over the earth, over the animals, the fishes, everything. Go ahead.
Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So man had power over everything. Did that include his woman? What was a woman created for? Was a woman created to be this source of you know, something that was going to anger you. You see your woman as just, you know, a nag machine. Oh, she just nagged me all the time. Oh, nag, 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 nag. Was that what the woman was created for?
Mm-mm.
Well, let's go and see. Genesis 2 and 18. Because there are a lot of men that's out there that's losing their freaking minds because of a woman. Because of a woman. And Satan will use a woman to destroy you. But let's see what God created the woman for. Satan wants to use a woman or your wife or your girlfriend. Now, keep in mind, according to the scriptures, that's one of the problems, that girlfriend-boyfriend situation, because God didn't ordain that. God created marriage for a man and a woman to be joined together as one flesh. He didn't create that. He didn't create try before you buy. He didn't create that. Okay? So let's read. Let's read biblically. What did God create the woman for? Read that. Genesis 2:18, my brother.
All right. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him."
So God said it's not good for a man to be alone. So what did he do? He said, "I'm going to make someone that's going to be there for him, that's going to help him." Meet means right. It's not talking about meet. It's like I met you. It's talking about as far as being good or appropriate. So God gave Adam this woman that was going to help him. Help him do what? Help him realize his vision or his dream? What was God creating this woman to help him with? Zach?
Let me read the scripture again. And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." So the Lord made this woman, this right or appropriate woman for the man, so that she could be that help. She could be that comfort for him, that companion.
Comfort in what? Comfort in what?
I'm sorry, say that one more. Comfort in what?
Comfort in what? What is their condition? What is their situation at this time?
Go ahead, brother.
They're in paradise. They're in paradise, aren't they? They're in the garden, yeah. Right?
From what I'm seeing right here, yes, they are.
So God created a woman to help Adam, that he could have a companion, someone that would be there for him to comfort him in paradise. It wasn't someone to comfort him in his ghetto and his sorrow. He's in paradise. She's in paradise. So the things that God has created for us was nothing but good. It was the best of situations that we can be in. Now, we look at our lives and the situations that we're in, how did we get ourselves there? God didn't put us there. We got ourselves there. And the majority of the time is because we've been disobedient to God. But when Christ came, he said what? He came to give us life and life more abundantly. But there's so many people that's turning their back on the Heavenly Father and his Christ, his anointed one, his Holy One of Israel, that is unbelievable. But all they have to do is come to Christ and they would be healed. But they don't want to be healed. They want to see what Satan got to offer. And that's what many women do. And then what do men do? They fall right into the trap with the women instead of following the Lord. And see, this is a cycle that, you know, brothers, men out there have to break. And then we can really help our sisters and our women to break free from that satanic influence, because it is a satanic influence in this world. If you're saying that there isn't, then all I can say is that you lost, and I pray for you to wake up. But keep reading. So the Lord created this woman to help Adam to enjoy the things that he had given him, which was paradise. So Adam's in the garden, you know, his job, we're going to read about it. What was his job? Read.
Okay. verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
Go ahead. So Adam, his job at this time is what? He's naming animals. He's a zookeeper, zoology. Okay, cat, rat, dog, you know. That's a good job. If all you had to do was name animals, well, I'd take that job. And you sitting in paradise, you know, you don't have to worry about food. The food just grows. You know, I want, give me some watermelon. I wanted some apples. You know, everything is just there for you. It's already prepared. You don't have to do anything. You have to just do this one thing. Could you do that, Zach? That sound like a good job to you?
Oh, yeah. Really? Name animals, that's it. Eat.
And be happy. That's it. It was simple. And this is the simplicity that's in Christ. See, God is simple. He don't want everything from us. He wants the right things for us, the things that's going to give us life. That's what he gave us. He gave us life, and he gave us the best of everything. But what did we do? We turned it on his head. We did that. So read on. Keep reading.
All right. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Mm-hmm. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Now, I want to continue on that same vein of what was the woman created for? So we learn here in Genesis that what? She was created to be an help for the man, right or wrong?
Right
or wrong? Exactly. What about the sisters in the chat room? You agree? Disagree? You know, am I wrong? Is the scriptures wrong? Is that what it's saying? Have I missed something? You know? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Because it says something else that's very interesting. Now, in saying that, does that give the man a right to be abusive to his wife or just do any old kind of thing to his wife?
Nope.
No. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, and I want to start from verse 8.
All right. First Corinthians 11 and verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Mm-hmm. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
So did what it said in Genesis change in the New Testament?
No, it did not.
No, it didn't. The woman was created for the man to be that helper, to help Adam in what work that the Lord had given him. So that hasn't changed today. The whole duty of man is what? Let's get it and read it.
Oh, I just tore a page of my Bible.
You're just excited this morning, huh?
This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
So what should a woman be helping the man do?
She should be helping the man to keep the commandments. And I say that in reference to this scripture right here, but it's a vice versa deal. In other words, the woman should be there for the man to help the man keep himself in line with the Heavenly Father in Christ. And it is also the man's responsibility to be there for his woman to help her keep herself in line according to the commandments, according to the teachings of Christ.
Right. So how is the woman going to be there for the man if the man – how is the woman going to help the man and serving the Most High if the man ain't serving the Most High already? How does that work?
Well, that's why we have all the problems.
And this is the reason why we have the problems. That's right. Because men are going crazy. Women have all these different weapons and tools that they use against men. And men fall for it. Why? Because they're not serving the Lord. Because if you're serving the Lord, what does the scripture say? Go to Isaiah 54 and 17. Do women have weapons that they use against men? Or and there's two questions. And is any of the weapons that they use physical, or are they all spiritual? Come on. Talk to me. Talk to me this morning, this afternoon, wherever you are in the world.
Well, you know that the primary weapon is the one between their legs. Men fall
yep.
for every single time.
Yep, we gonna get that one. We're gonna get that one. So
that, and on a spiritual vein, well, more like a mental vein, you know, when there are arguments or where there are disagreements, and then it the woman may result in say, you know, well, I'm gonna take your child, I'm gonna take your children, you're not gonna see them again.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a spiritual weapon.
For a man that's trying to serve the Lord, for a man that loves his children, when he hears that, it's almost an over and done with deal for him. Because in that man's mind that loves his children, that's all he wants to do. Raise his children, take care of his children, be there for his children. So when someone says, I'm going to take your children from you, or when someone says, well, you're not going to see your children anymore, so forth and so on, that's almost an assault, if not an assault, on that man.
Right. But see, this is the thing that we want to talk about, because that's a weapon of the enemy. But let's read this, because there's no greater power that we have that is in Christ. But men forget it. And they give all this power to women. Well, Christ is our power. Christ is our strength. And people in the church forget it. So how are people in the world going to get it? So read this. This is Isaiah 54:17.
Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Stop.
Every tongue.
No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon of the enemy that Satan can bring to bear, because that's one of the weapons of the enemy that he wants to use to destroy people's families. Okay, I'm going to take your children. Then what? It's a bait to lure that man to be out of the spirit, where he's going to do something to that woman that now the woman has an excuse to really do, where he's going to beat her or punch her up or call her some kind of name. Now those demons are going to be working on it even more. See, he was no good man. He was no man of the Lord. He wasn't this blah, 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 blah. But if you stay in the Lord, what does the scripture say in Job? You know, this is my brother, one of my brother's favorite scriptures in Job. Get it in Job 6:25. First, read the rest of this scripture, then we'll get it.
This is Isaiah 54:17 again. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee, in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Right. So there's no weapon form. There's nothing that anyone can say. If you serve the Lord, you're going to be able, like the scripture says, to quench all the fiery darts of Satan with the shield that the Lord has given you. But get Job 6:25.
Job 6:25. How forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove?
How forcible are arguing words? So someone, if my wife said, oh, well, I'm going to take your children. I said, well, you could do that, but is that right? Is that what the scriptures say? And what if she does? What if she does take my children? I still have to serve the Lord. Remember, people beat Christ. Christ healed people, and they cursed them, and they kicked them out of their towns. Christ healed people, and they wanted to throw him off cliffs. How did he respond? How did he react? That's what we have to look at. That is powerful. But many men want to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow, and lose every time with a wicked woman or a woman that doesn't understand. But we're supposed to be the rock, but we can't be the rock if Christ isn't our rock. So go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Because it's a warfare that's going on in people's relationships and families, and Satan is all in the midst, and men are going crazy, even to the point of committing suicide, even to the point murdering their spouse or abusing their spouse because of the different tactics and things that Satan is working through these women. What you should be doing is serving the Lord. But see, men have taken this helpmeet that God has given them, and now they've replaced God with the woman. So it's no wonder a lot of brothers are going out of their wits, going bananas, crazy, bonkers, because women have become their God, and women are not perfect. Women are not omnipotent. They have faults. They have flaws. So you're serving a flawed God. So read that. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah, so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what weapons do we have that we have to use? Now, I want us to look at something. Go to Proverbs 30 and 5. Our weapons are not carnal because we're not fighting a carnal war. We're fighting a spiritual warfare.
And you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, because even with the first scriptures that we read at the beginning of the show, showing the order that the Heavenly Father set up, as far as the man being the head and the woman being supposed to be subject to the man, The problem that a lot of people have with that is based on, and the Bible in general, it's just based on the bad examples that we've seen throughout the generations. You know, the incorrect example, the wrong example that have been set by men who supposedly were God-fearing men.
Mm-hmm.
And people throw the example of them, like, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with that Bible if that's what it's about. I'm going to have to live. Because as soon as you think a man is ahead, immediately you get into the image that pops into your mind is a woman that's barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, uneducated, unintelligent, just old mouthy woman, doesn't know anything, and a man that's abusive and cheats on her.
Nope. Exactly. Well, let's read this.
This is Proverbs 30 and 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yeah, so what do we have in our hands? A shield. Because a lot of times you're going to have a woman and she's going to say things and it's going to be hurtful. But if you love your wife, are you going to do anything to hurt her back?
No.
It's like, okay, I got a shield, I got a sword. Which one are you going to use? Because the scriptures tell us, go to Ephesians 6 and 16. Because you have to understand, Satan wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy you, but he just doesn't want you. He wants collateral damage, as much collateral damage he can get. through you. He can get your wife. He can get your children. He can get their friends. He can get your friends. It's just like a spiritual bomb that goes off. Anyone in the vicinity, they also get taken away. That's what Satan wants to do. You think it's just after you? You got you're sadly mistaken. So read on.
All right. This is Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
So, if a man's woman is trying to take his child, and that man is in Christ, is he going to be able to withstand that and still be in the spirit of God in Christ?
Yeah. If he's truly in Christ, if he's truly following Christ, then he will be able to withstand that.
Yeah, he's going to be like, bing, 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 just like that. Because the scripture says, how forcible are right words. That's that spiritual. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty. They're powerful. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword. So I'm going to take your child. Okay. You can try, but what does God have to say about it? Is that the right thing to do? What did the scripture say? You know, don't you understand how Satan is trying to destroy our family? See, but men don't do that. What they do is like, oh, my pimp hand is strong. Hold on. Ho better step back. She don't know me like that. You know, that's that worldly wisdom. And where does it get us? In jail. Not seeing your children. The very thing you try to avoid. Now you done smacked up the woman or you done cursed out the woman. And what? You don't get to see your kids anyway. You thought you was a man. Nah. Nah. We've all been taught wrong. We've all been taught wrong. It's the scriptures which is right. Now, we're going to take a short break. And we're going to come back and talk about this. Because this is a very serious thing. And I know a lot of brothers out there is going crazy bananas. And a lot of brothers that's in the church will call themselves Israelites because they read in the Bible the many different things and evils that women did. Many mysteries have been revealed to them through the scriptures about women. And now they're looking and saying, damn, that's what a woman can do? Oh, these women is wicked. These women is this. These women is that. But remember, who did the Lord put in charge? So if a woman is a whore, it's a man that had to sleep with her to make her a whore. Instead, he could have told her, no, baby, this ain't going down because this isn't right. This isn't godly. And many righteous men have done that. Look at Joseph when he was in Egypt. And he's in this guy's house, and the guy's wife want to sleep with him. Did Joseph sleep with her?
Nope.
Huh? Did she try more than once? Did she try more than once?
She tried.
Because there's many men are like, yo, you know, I know that ain't right. You know, I ain't no homebreaker. I ain't going to do nothing like that. But, you know, she kept coming at me, man. She kept coming. You know, I ain't going to turn it down after so many times, you know. That's foolish. Joseph's like, no, no, no. I'm not going to do this great wickedness against the Most High. But many men don't have that position in their lives to stand on that rock, which is Christ, that they can withstand the storms, that they can withstand the winds and the trials and tribulations that Satan, through this wicked, perverse world, is going to throw at you. But you can stand. You can stand if you're in Christ. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church. You may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist info@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
The Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works that come through the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
Yo, how long these devils think they're going to escape, man? Go on and expose them. Reverends doing witchcraft and abomination. They say they're of the Lord, but they're the friends of Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We got devils walking around with human faces. Divining witches and psychics will bring a curse. But what's worse is Catholics teaching this up in the church. Filthy lies and blasphemy is what it is. The Most High said he would not suffer a witch to live. So we examine and reprove all these simple demons. Now get your Bibles out, cause it's repentance season. Submit yourselves to the will of the Most High Might. Open your eyes and turn from darkness to the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light on blogtalkradio.com/the BOCC, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Repent from witchcraft and the occult. Shalom.
Back, kings and priests, don't let your woman drive you crazy. We're supposed to serve the Lord, brothers, and we're supposed to show our wives that example of Christ. We're supposed to recognize and know that our sisters are going through the same spiritual fight that we're going through, and they're the weaker vessel, so we have to have understanding towards that. And I mean, many brothers don't have that understanding, and they don't have that sympathy or that compassion that Christ had on us, because Christ had mercy on us. But many men won't have that mercy on their women, or look what condition or things that their wives are going through. You know, they're just thinking about themselves. You know, don't take my child, don't do this. But they're not looking and seeing what things they've done to the Heavenly Father. They're not looking at what crimes and things that the Heavenly Father has suffered, and what simple things that they've done against the Lord. You're just looking at your wife and saying, which things, oh, this woman is crazy. She's this. What we have to do is really look at ourselves. And if we do that, there's nothing that your wife will be able to do or to say that's going to remove you from the love of Christ. So I'd like to thank everyone that's called in, everyone that's joining us. If you got a question or a comment, you can definitely most certainly call in. The call-in number is 646-716-7749, or you can put your question or comment in the chat room, and brothers and sisters, or you know, the brothers on the show and myself would definitely do our best to answer it via the word of the Most High in His Christ. But I want us to go and look at Ephesians 6 and 12. Because there's many men that they're fighting a spiritual warfare, and they're using carnal means and methods to fight it, and they lose every time. They lose every time. I know. I've been there. I've been in those bad relationships and arguing with a woman. It's only till I came to truth and been in the truth for years and years and years and years that I finally came. Oh, this is how this works. This is where my power is. This is where the force is. You know, they have the force in Star Wars, but we have the force in Christ. And it's more powerful than any relationship book or doctrine that you'll ever deal with. It's really humbling. But read that, Ephesians 6:12, brother.
Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Read that again.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
You know what? There's some brothers out there that's wrestling. They're in a physical wrestling match, or they're into a verbal wrestling match with their wife, their girlfriend, their woman. But the scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when your woman comes in, she's angry, she's crazy, she's lost, she's out of your head, that's not a carnal thing, that's a spiritual thing. It's a spirit of anger, or it's a spirit of jealousy, or whatever it is. So what do you have to use to combat those forces? The force that God gave you. How forcible are right words? And we know that the right words is the words of this Bible, the words of truth, the words of Christ. Read on.
All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah, who are we battling? Satan. We battle in Satan. Well, you won't be able to see that if you're carnally minded. And you said something very interesting, Zah, is that, you know, a woman trying to take a man's child, you know, basically that's going to drive him crazy. That's why there's this scripture here. Read verse 13.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Read on.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above mm-hmm. all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Read on.
And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
So now, that sounds like a man that's fully prepared. There's nothing that's going to be able to penetrate that, is that?
That's right.
Not words, not deeds, not anything that's people. Because remember, Christ said, your enemy. In the old time, you know, someone that was your enemy, you know, you would fight against them. But Christ said, pray for your enemies. And many, many men see women as the enemy. The woman isn't the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And if we have all these things prepared, are they going to be able to get through to us?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's things that women may say that may anger you. That's why Ephesians 4:26 says what? Be angry, but sin not. Christ was angry many times with the disciples. Did he sin? I'm going to kill all y'all. No, he didn't do that. He explained. He taught them. He shown them what was right. That's the same thing that we were supposed to do. But what's the problem? Men are losing their minds because of women, because they have so much hatred for women. Because they don't love themselves. Because they don't love the Most High. It's as simple as that. You think you love the Most High. But if you love the Most High and you stand for the Most High, why are you so easily defeated? Because the Most High is the power. We can do all things through Christ who's strengthening us. So in the Old Testament, it said a man, an Israelite man, it said one could chase 1,000, two could chase 10,000, and you fall at the hand or word of a woman. That shows that you're not serving God. Because if you're serving God, you're mighty and you're powerful in Christ. And nothing is going to offend you. Nothing is going to shake you. Nothing is going to move you off your position. Not a woman, not a trial, not a tribulation, not a debt, not a job, nothing. You're going to hold your position and you shall not be moved. You shall not be moved. I want to play a clip and then we're going to go and some more into this and give some examples what brothers should be doing when they're faced with these different problems or situations that arise in their life. What can you do to avoid them or work around them? What does the scriptures give us in any advice? This is one of my favorite clips I like to play that, you know, women, an example of women just driving the man bonkers, crazy out of his mind. So let's listen to this.
I'm sick of dealing with your ghetto baby mama. Do you mind?
Excuse us.
Then what the hell are you talking about? Do you mind? You ain't never seen black people on a train? You ain't never heard of the Underground Railroad?
Got a ghetto Harriet Tubman.
Let my people go. You heard me?
Ma'am, she's drunk.
Yeah, we can tell. Probably a 40
malt liquor.
She's always up to embarrass me.
Look at you, Marcus. You are an embarrassment, okay? And I was fine till we dropped your kids off at Keisha's house.
She's your mother. What do you want me to do?
Be a man and tell her to stop talking to me like she's crazy. I'm telling you, Marcus, if she looks at me one more time cross-eyed, I'm going to gut her like a fish.
She wasn't even looking at you.
How would you know? You weren't even on her face. You too busy staring at her ass.
Could you lay off of that for a while?
Could you go to hell for a while?
Or are you there?
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Do you mind? Fifi is trying to nap.
You know what? Well, Angela is trying to have a conversation with her husband. I'm about sick of y'all interrupting my conversation. I don't give a damn about Fifi. I heard those little smart-ass remarks you made, too. Didn't your mama teach you something? Who the hell do these people think they are anyway? Didn't y'all see me have a conversation with my husband?
So what do you do with that? Some would advise, yo, you got to get your woman in check, man. And that would mean that you physically abuse your wife. Is that the answer? Let's start there.
No, that definitely is not the answer. I mean, I got to read the scripture. Excuse me. If you don't mind, allow me to read the scripture right quick. This
sure.
is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Where it says, verse 27, where it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So the point of the matter is, we have to keep yourselves in check. That's not to say that you're not going to get angry, because there are times when you are going to get angry. But what do you do when you get angry? Do you lash out? Do you just, you know, grab the bull by the horns and just commence to tearing a place apart? That's not according to Christ. Let me read it again. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So we're supposed to keep ourselves in check, and we're supposed to use the scriptures as the vice or as the tool to keep ourselves in check. The fruits of the spirit, that love, that joy, that peace, the goodness, the meekness, the gentleness, the patience, right there. So those things that we have to keep constantly in our minds, because if not, the example that you play easily overtake any man, and then he's gone off the deep end, and all the studying and all the meditation and reading the scriptures that he thought that he did, it was for nothing. Mm-hmm. Also, I got to read Ecclesiastes, please. Chapter 7 and verse 9,
mm-hmm.
where it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
Mm.
So it says, don't be quick in your spirit to lose control. Don't be quick in your spirit to lose your temper. Don't be quick in your spirit to let it go and all hell breaks loose. Don't do that.
Mm.
Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. For anger, that spirit of anger, is going to reside in that foolish man or that foolish woman, for that matter. So the overall point of the matter is, when confronted with situations like that, it's best to take a breath, take a step back, refocus your mindset in the scriptures, and if need be, walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, and people have to recognize how powerful that spirit of anger can be. And even the scriptures tell you that wrath wasn't made for men. It wasn't made for us to be just insanely crazy and just, because at that moment, men have killed their wives in that moment of fury, of anger. Boom, snap the neck. Like, yo, I'm not that strong. No, you're not that strong. It was that demon that gave you, oh, you want to kill her, don't you? Okay, bam, you got the power. Click, now you done killed your wife. Just that said, oh, I didn't mean to do it, I loved her. Okay, why'd you kill her then? Because that anger was resting in your heart for a long time. Christ told, tell us how we're supposed to resolve those different issues. In Matthew 18:15, many other scriptures, you have an issue or a problem, but many men won't do that. They won't go to the woman like, look, you really hurt my feelings. That was some messed up suck. That like the scripture says, how forcible are right words? Too afraid, oh, see, you're a weak man. You're a little, you gay, you effeminate. Look at you, dad, you got no feelings. Like, well, you ain't supposed to have no feelings. Men do have feelings. So you just keep it all bottled up, and then you explode. Now you're in more pain than what you was before.
Yeah.
You don't want to humble. See, we have to humble ourselves to the Most High, and then we'll be able to deal with any situation, whether it's in a marital relationship, whether it's in a job, whatever. But men are not doing that, so they get into dealing with these crazy sisters, and they have no way or outlet to deal with it. It's just what they know naturally, which is not going to help you, because God isn't dealing with the natural. He's dealing with the spiritual, and that's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against principalities. Principalities mean you fighting the first, the top of the line, the top range, the high ranking demons and spirits. You're not fighting the low level, you know. You're not fighting the pawn. You fighting the bishop. You fighting the knight. That's what you're fighting against. But you're able to stand by doing what? The scriptures gave you the answer. You have to put on the whole armor of God. So to do that, you have to submit yourselves to God's will. Because a woman is supposed to be a beautiful thing in a man's life. She was created to help us in the caretaking of paradise. And that's what we're supposed to be returning back to again. To God's paradise that he wants to give us. He wants to give us the kingdom that we enjoy along with our wives. So I want us to go to Proverbs 21, verse 9. So what do you do in a situation? You got a woman, she's crazy, she's angry, she's upset, she's mad. Something has happened, you know, that she just snapped, like the guy said. She just snapped. Now, what has happened? Is it going to make it any better if you snap, if you lose control? Is that going to make it any better?
No, it's not. That's going to make it worse.
It's definitely not. You got to stay. In the military, say you got to stay calm under fire. And it's like, how do you do that? You know, how do you stay calm when bullets are shooting at your head? You know, he's like, yo, he's just like, ah, I'm about to die. But that's what separates the righteous from the wicked, would separate the men from the cowards. Because in the scriptures, we didn't take the cowards to war. It was like, look, you scared to fight. Hey, you got to stay home. So we are fighting a spiritual warfare. But how we have to fight it is according to the scriptures. So we're gonna see how the Lord wants to fight and deal in these situations. Is it be abusive to our women? Is it to strike them? You know, everyone has their different issues. Everyone has a bad day. But how are we supposed to deal? You know, woman's mad, upset, just like the woman on the train. How do we deal with that? How does the scripture show us how to deal with that? Read Proverbs 21, verse 9.
Proverbs 21 and 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a White House.
So she's angry and upset. The way to combat that is not to combat it. Is that what it's saying? Leave her alone?
Now, let me read the scripture again. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a White House. So it's better to basically be off to the side, you know. If she's angry, she's upset, let her be angry and upset. You go someplace else. Let the situation calm. Let the situation calm itself. Let her calm herself. And then, at that point, you start that Hebrews 13 and 16, that communication. Well, why are you upset? What has gotten you this angry? Talk to me. Let's see if we can resolve this. Right. But in the heat of the moment, it's not going to work.
Right. And then you might say some things that you later regret. But we know, the scripture says, you know, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if a man loves his wife, is he going to call her a bitch or a whore or a slut, skeez, or whatever? Is he going to say that?
No, it's not going to
say that. Man, I love my wife, but she a hoe. How do you love your wife if all of these different, you know, out of a fountain, there's only going to come one thing. It's either going to be sweet or bitter. It can't be both. Can't be both. So it says leave her alone. And there's another scripture that talks about that. Proverbs 20 and 3. Get that and read that.
All right. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling.
So it's an honor to cease from arguments and fights and debate. But that's not what the scriptures tell us to do, is it? It tells us to engage, attack, defend. Oh, no, you're not going to say, well, you ain't taking my child. How dare you? Who the hell you think you are? And does that make the situation any better?
No, that's making it worse.
It's making it worse. So there's going to be times where you're dealing with a woman. To keep your sanity, you have to, what? Cease from strife. Don't engage. This is the combat. This is a spiritual warfare, and this is a spiritual weapons. So you're going to say some things. All you got to do is hold up your shield. Bam, 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 bam. You did this, blah, blah, blah. And you're just holding your shield there. And you're praying, Lord, help me, Jesus, this woman is saying. Because they say sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words won't hurt you. That's a lie. That's a damned lie. Because words hurt. Words hurt. Sticks and stones hurt, but words hurt even more than I take the sticks and stones, some of the words that people can say that hurt more. That's a lie. But your shield, you have your shield there, will quench all those fiery darts. Boom, you got it. You caught it. Okay. So you cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. See how she going to say that about me? I'm going to tell her about herself and this and me. See, this is what you done. Take my children. I ain't going to give you no money. You take the little sucker. I ain't going to give you no money. Then you all in a bad way. And who put you there? Yourself, because you didn't submit yourself to the Lord. This is the reason why men are going crazy and have problems with their women. Because they don't want to listen to what the Lord is saying. They think, I can handle this. I'm a man. Are you? You may be a man, but are you a man of the Lord? That is the question. Yep. So that's stage one. They say go to a corner in the house. So you may have what they call a man cave. Go to your man cave and just sit there and you know, relax a minute. And she's maybe ratting and raving. You got your shield, so it ain't gonna penetrate you. You got on armor. So it ain't going to penetrate you. Every part of your body is covered from the head to the sole of your feet. It said even your feet, the shroud your feet with the gospel. So you're looking at Christ. How many people spoke up against Christ? And what did he do? When they railed on him, did he rail back?
No, he kept going.
So why is a man's wife or his woman an exception to that rule? If Christ is our example.
Because men and women, but since we talk about the men right about now, men have that word called pride and have that attribute called pride in which, well, she's not going to say nothing to me, or she got something to say to me, I got something to say to her. Now, bring it. That's the wrong mentality to have.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that scripture, because it leads me to another scripture that I had. I'll read it real quick, and then we'll go to the next stage. Because sometimes the corner ain't going to be good enough for you. It ain't going to be good enough for her. You're going to try to, like, okay, I'm not going to engage in this because I know it's a snare and it's a trap of Satan for me to start, like colored people put into the death and life or in the power of the tongue. So Satan wants you to engage in that, to inflame the situation. But you brought up an interesting point, Zach, about pride. And I want to read that. This is 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So the Lord, he's not going to deal with those that's proud in heart. I'm going to deal with this situation. I got this. I'm going to show this whole, it's showtime in here. How she going to say, she's going to take my kids, she's going to do this, do that. I'm the man up in here. No, God resisted that. You're going to do what God says, and then you're going to be empowered. You're going to be the one that comes on top because you followed the one who is on top. So Proverbs 21:9 is stage one. Sometimes that's not going to be good enough. So let's go to Proverbs 21:19. 10 scriptures later.
It is 21:19. Excuse me. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman.
See, God couldn't leave us hanging. He knew. God knows, man. The Most High knows. Why does he know? Because he made male and he made female. So he knows what's in us, and he knows how to combat that. But we have to take up the spiritual weaponry. So read that again, brother.
It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman.
So your woman is angry. She's contentious. She's contending with you. You know, that contentious means tending to argument or strife, quarrelsome, causing or involving or characterized by argument or controversy, caused between two contending parties. So she's just there looking for an argument, trying to bait you into the argument. I take your kids. You know what? The baby may not be yours. You're like, oh, hell no. I'm going to show you. Showtime. Now you're in Satan's trap. You done took off the gloves when you're supposed to keep the armor on. You say, oh, I'm taking the gloves off. No, keep the gloves on. Keep the armor on. Keep your shield that's able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. So sometimes you got to leave the house. Go in the wilderness. Well, I'm going to a friend's house. Don't go to another woman's house. Go to a brother's house, the brother that's in Christ. Not the one that's like, oh, man, you know what? Forget that hoe. I know so Sally been looking at you for a long time. She'll treat you right. Is that the right move?
No.
But a lot of men fall for that. One woman ain't treating them right. There's another woman that for that moment, she's in the spirit of saying, oh, I know your woman ain't treating you right. Yeah, I'll treat you right. I've had women say that to me. Ah, your woman ain't treating you right. You have a problem with your woman? I'll treat you right. I'll give you what you want. I'll rub your back. I'll give you what you want, daddy. But what are you going to do? That's just another trap. And if you have your armor on, then you're going to fall right into it, and it's going to be your death. It's going to be your destruction. It's going to destroy you. And it's collateral damage. Because if you're out of the picture, then is that going to cause more problems for the wife that you had and your children? Is that going to cause more problems for them in their life?
Yes, it will.
Yes, of course. If not anything else, stress, financial problems, because people are more financially stable together than they are apart, aren't they? I mean, that's like common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's better to pay one mortgage than two, or one rent rather than two rents, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
People don't think, like, I'm going to get mine. You can't tell me. Go ahead.
Well, but with that, with the man out of the way, you know, wherein is going to be, you know, the establishing of that, of the household. If that man is out of the picture, where is the help dealing with the children? If that man is out of the picture, where is the source of that woman's strength, which is supposed to be the scriptures through that man? So it's almost like a relationship of dependency. And when I say dependency, I'm not talking about, oh, one is weak and can't do for themselves. It's like you need each other. If neither one is there, then how is the other person going to going to deal and deal successfully. Not saying that it can't happen, but the Most High brought us together, man and woman, so that both be that one flesh, like the scripture says, and they raise the children, and they both are working together with the common goal of obtaining the kingdom of heaven.
Mm. Now, see, that's something that a man should be saying to his wife instead of, you know, you're going to take my child, I'm gonna beat you down. And I want to get that and read that. Let's go to Titus 1 and 7, because a man is not supposed to be a striker or fighting with his wife in a physical confrontation. You know, some people call it moving furniture. Yeah, they was in the house moving furniture, meaning they was in a physical fight. You know, you're not supposed to be in a physical fight with your woman. You know, I'm going to show you. Or you say I'm a better man up. Okay, I'm a man up. Here come this slap. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. No. That's not right according to the scriptures. It's like what you said, Zach, pride. And men, like, okay, they lack that confidence because they put this woman on a pedestal and see her as a god or a goddess. And now they forgot who their first love was supposed to be, and it's supposed to be Christ. But if your love is towards Christ first, if your wife said, I'm going to leave and take the children, they're like, well, you could do that. But I'm still going to serve the Lord. No matter what you do, I'm still going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what's right. Now, we can talk about it if you want to. If not, then, hey, the Most High is going to deal with you. That takes faith, and it takes humility. And we really lost our way and think that, look, the Most High is the ultimate judge, and that there's nothing that anyone could do that the Most High don't see and that the Most High don't deal with. But let's read this, bro. Titus 1 and 7. Because many men, they result to what? I'm going to beat the woman into submission. You can beat the woman, but that don't mean she's going to submit in her mind. Read on.
All right. Titus 1 and 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre.
So,
but a lover.
The scripture says that what? A man that sought to be a bishop, a teacher, a leader, an elder in the church, that he couldn't be a striker. So that didn't mean, you know, that was exclusive for the men that were bishops, because the bishops were the ones that were supposed to be setting an example for the church. So if the man that's a bishop isn't a striker, what is everyone else supposed to be doing? What are the rest of the men supposed to be doing? Is it okay for them to strike their wife?
No. It's
no.
In other words, they're supposed to serve as the example.
Right. He was supposed to be to reflect the image of Christ and how Christ was. Well, you see Christ beating up women. There was women cursing out Christ. There was women there saying, crucify him, Caesar's our king. But he still prayed for the Lord to forgive them, didn't he? And there was many women that followed Christ. So you're not supposed to beat up on your wife. Now, I wanted to go on some of the other weapons and tools. I mean, I think it was you, Abaji, that mentioned it. Is that, was it you about sex?
Or was it yes, it was Abaji.
It was Abaji.
It was Abaji. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7.
Right.
Because if you're in Christ and you're following the scriptures, you even know people out in the world, they use it all the time. They use the sex ticket. They use the sex card. I ain't gonna give him none. See, made me mad. Didn't give me that money to get my hair done. I'm gonna show him he ain't gonna get none tonight. But is that something that women are supposed to use? And what if a woman does use that? Here's the remedy. 1 Corinthians 7, read.
Story 2, start at
7 and 5. Let's get straight
okay.
to it.
Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
So, what does that mean?
It means... Defraud ye not one another. Do not hold back, except it be with consent for a time. And what are we talking about? We're talking about sex now. So defraud ye not one the other. Don't hold back from each other the sex, except it be with consent, except that both of you agree we're not going to deal in this intimate matter so that we can
fast. What does defraud mean?
Hold back or
yeah, yeah. You're not supposed to hold back. If you love somebody, why are you going to hold back the comfort, the physical comfort for them? That's an evil thing. But it's a tool that many women use, and it makes the man crazy. It makes the man mad. But this is what the scriptures say. Go ahead, brother.
Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time.
Even in the church, people are doing this. Even in the church, I ain't gonna give them none because I'm mad and I'm mad. So we have to know the weapons and tools that Satan's gonna use to try to destroy us and our families. I'm not gonna give him none. Okay. If my wife said,
Can I add something to that?
Sure, go ahead, bro.
Because by the same token, again, because of bad examples that have been set by those that have come before us, and even some of us ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because of bad examples and the lack of understanding of the scriptures, people will read that, defraud ye not one the other. Oh, so that means, you know, and people are just going to take that and run it through your mouth with it, you know, and you start dealing with foolishness. Because on the flip side of that is the whole thing of if a man and a woman are dealing with it that they're supposed to, why would a man have to force his woman, or why would a woman have to force her man when it comes time to deal in that manner?
Right.
You should. And that's where charity comes into play, and that's where the lack of understanding of the scriptures and the power of the Most High comes into play, because people don't understand. See, if we have charity one towards the other, then it's not going to be a matter of me, I want. It's going to be a matter of us and that charity coming into play and that love that you're supposed to have for each other as it pertains to the scriptures and coming to a middle ground.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Wise words. And the brother's not even married yet, but soon.
Exactly. So, why would a man have to force his woman if they're dealing in charity?
He wouldn't have to.
Exactly. So
he wouldn't have charity.
Exactly. So you find yourself not even having to deal with the foolish questions that the world comes up with because they're not dealing in the scriptures.
Right. And absolutely. And that's what this show is all about. You know, men are going crazy over women is because they're not dealing with the Lord correctly. That's why the woman is able to get to you. That's why she's able to push your buttons. Why is she able to push your buttons through this mighty armor of God? Oh, I guess you're not wearing it, huh? That's how she's able to do that. I guess you, where's your shield that's able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan? Oh, it's over there in the corner. That's why you're getting your ass spiritually whipped. Where you're supposed to lead and guide the house, and the Lord has given you all this power as a commander in your house, and now you're the one that's serving the woman. You're the one that's the servant. You're the servant, and your house is falling. It's falling down because you're not serving God. And the great is the fall of your house going to be. Because you refuse to serve the Lord. No, this woman, I'm going to show her who's the man.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out that Satan is there just whooping up on you. And the Lord is like, I could have helped you, man. So I want to say you brought some interesting points, Abadja, about forcing a woman. You can't force a woman. Men read the Bible. They read 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go read 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. They read this scripture and it's like, oh, hell, it's on. See, I knew this feminism. See, I'm the man, it's over the woman, this, that. You listen to me. They get that in their head and think, like, you know, women just automatic. All right, he read the scripture. I'm going to fall in line. What you want, everything you want. What you want. You know? So read that scripture.
1 Corinthians 11 and 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
So I remember, you know, first coming into the truth and dealing with the scriptures, reading it. Like, oh, snap, this is how it's supposed to be. Yeah, what? And many, many men and brothers had that same inkling in their mind. And they didn't have the understanding. Read Colossians 3:18. You gotta listen to me.
1 second. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18.
Excuse
me. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord.
So many brothers still saw that as, you know, this woman's going to have to listen to me. And this is where a lot of conflict and things come in and men going crazy, especially in the churches, in the Israelite churches. You know, woman got to listen. See, Bible said for submit, submit. But what does submit mean? What does submit mean?
To yield oneself or to give oneself over to.
Yeah, to yield. What does yield mean? See, Zach got that master's degree, so we're going to make him break it down for y'all. So he's really highly educated, brother, so we're going to make him break. What does yield mean?
All right, now give me about 15 seconds to go to dictionary.com so I can get you the definition of yield. No, seriously, when you yield, that's basically to give way or to give passage. Or in this case, talk about persons, you give yourself over to that effect.
So if a person is yielding, are they being forced to?
No. In other words, when you're yielding, you're doing this of your own free will and accord.
Exactly.
You're not being forced. You're not being compelled to do it.
So why are men trying to get women to listen?
Nah.
Why are they trying to get, you gonna listen to me? Why don't you just do what the scripture says? She's not listening. Let me go in this corner. Let me go in this and I'm gonna unleash the arsenal. I'm gonna go into the armory. And what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to leave her alone to cool down, and then I'm gonna come back with my sword. How forcible are right words? I ain't gonna be in an argument. I'm gonna come back with the force. The true force. Not that Star Wars. We ain't talking about Star Wars. We talking about the Most High. We talking about the words of these scriptures. These pure words. Then we're going to see what happens. Because I can tell you, through my experience in being married for over a decade, this is the power right here. This is the power. You arguing with your wife and trying to force her to do what you want. That ain't going to work, Jim. Because whether you believe it or not, women are powerful. Women they're powerful, and they're powerful in Satan. They have power in this world. And if you ain't dealing with the Heavenly Father in Christ, they will destroy you. They will destroy you, and they will destroy your children. So we're supposed to be on the other side, helping them and showing them, look, this is the traps of Satan. These are things that he wants you to do to destroy me and destroy us and destroy our family. Not you giving into that like how Adam did. Adam went along with the program. And where are we now? Out working. I'll say this, and I want everyone to know, we're not meant to be working. We're not meant to be working. We're supposed to be in paradise. So what do you want? How many people enjoy going to work? How many people, they wake out of their bed, and that bed is just calling you, like, where you going? You know you don't want to go. You want to stay 5 more minutes, snooze, and you like hit the snooze, bam. Come on. Who's going to tell me I'm wrong?
Uh-huh.
We wasn't meant for that. We were created for paradise. We were created to enjoy this earth. Why are we enjoying it? Because we was wicked against the Heavenly Father. It's simple and plain. Why is your woman crazy and you crazy and you going mad? Because you've turned your back on the Most High. Because that's the order. We were supposed, you're so busy telling your woman, you got to listen to me. Listen to what I say. I'm telling you, the Lord told you, I'm the man, I'm over you. But are you listening to the one that's over you? Are you listening to Christ? Are you doing the things that Christ is telling you to do as a man? That is the question. Because if you're doing that, there's nothing that woman can do to harm you or hurt you or anything. The Lord will check her so hard she wouldn't have to be spinning like on The Exorcist.
Yeah.
But many men don't have that faith. Oh, I got to do something about this. She's going to take my baby. She's going to take my child. Oh, hell no, she ain't doing that. All you got to do is get on your knees and, well, man, I must have done something to the Lord that my life is so crazy like this. Let me go to the Lord. Lord, what have I done? Lord, forgive me. I'm in these problems. Lord, help me. How many men is doing that? Or are you trying to handle the subtle things with the back of your hand? So, if submit means to yield. What, you want to say something, bro?
Yeah, I was going to say the problem is that men that find themselves in these situations when they try to right some of the wrongs that they've done in the past and start dealing correctly, they're going to find out very quickly that the woman that they chose to deal with is not the woman that the Heavenly Father has set up for them.
Right.
And one of two things is going to happen. When a man decides to give his life over to the Lord and repent and start walking that path of righteousness through the example of Christ, that woman that he's dealing with, one of two things is going to happen.
Hmm.
Going to have 1 Corinthians 7 addresses that, not to take you off the subject, but that
one
chapter, as far as basically, either she's going to, if she wants to be with you, then she's going to basically follow suit and eventually learn and understand for herself, or she's going to leave. One of two things is going to happen. And, and you know, it just goes back to all of the decisions that we made without the counsel of the Heavenly Father, without the understanding of the scriptures, that puts us in the situations that we find ourselves in and the repercussions of those decisions that we have to live the rest of our lives with. But the Lord is very merciful in those things as well.
Yeah, he is.
People really underestimate the power of the Most High, how he has the power, you know, really who's in charge of this place.
Right.
You know, when the Most High can step in and just change the whole situation around, you sitting there wondering, like, okay, now where the hell did this come from? How did this happen? You know, I didn't see this coming. I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. You know, this is good. But it just goes back to the men learning to put their faith in the Most High rather than worshiping these things that we see before us and giving our power over to that.
Right. And I know Abaji knows something about that. He's speaking from personal experience. You know, saw a woman he liked, and then instead of looking for a woman in the Lord, he tried to convince a woman of Satan of the Lord. Now, that's a tall order. Because something that
you can't save nobody.
Not right. Something that colored people put in the chat room, which is very true. It says we both need to learn to submit. And that's what that 1 Peter 5:5 is telling us. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Because there's women that check men, but in the scriptures.
Yep.
Like, look, this is what you're doing wrong. Let me show you, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't, but before a man to hear a woman, he had to listen to her. You know, you just got one to see, you're the weaker vessel. Shut the hell up. No, you can't do that. Because if you love somebody, you're not going to do that. Because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Yeah.
I got a question. Did Abraham tell Sarah shut down when she told him to send Ishmael away?
No.
And the Lord said, listen to your wife?
Mm-mm.
No, Abraham did not do that. Though it hurt him to do so, he did send away Ishmael.
Yeah, because he was
what Sarah was thinking was right.
He was obedient and humble to what the Lord was saying. Now I want to hit Ephesians 5:22.
Okay. Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Right. So, like I said, women got to listen to me. So as a mentality, you can go out and just get any woman and say, look, you got to listen to me. You got a woman that's full of sin, and you got to listen to me. Is she going to understand that?
No.
She's going to understand it. If you don't understand it, you just can't get any old woman. Oh, she look good. The booty look good. The breasts look good. Let me know. Now you look good, and now she's thinking about you on this carnal relationship basis. You got the Bible in your hand, and you looking at her in a carnal basis. You're not looking at her what the scriptures say, you know, with all purity. You're not looking at her like that. You look, breasts look good. The hair look, oh man, her hair is nice. She smell nice. Look at her. Nails is done. Yeah, the sister got it going on. You ain't even thinking about a Bible verse. You just
yeah,
thinking about
done,
what
yeah.
I'm going
to
get. You just thinking about what you're going to get from this woman, and now you're going to throw this Bible at her. It's not going to work that way. That's why many men are going out of their damn mind because of women. Because the women they got is wicked. Why? Because they're wicked. A wicked woman is given unto a portion to a wicked man. A righteous woman is going to be given to a righteous man. That's what's going to happen. Brothers need to figure it out. A woman, she's crazy. She's out of order. You out of order. That's why your woman's out of order. Your woman is a reflection of you. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. I don't see how many men miss that. The woman is a reflection of them. No, I never do that. This, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing against the Heavenly Father in Christ? Because if you're doing the things that's right in Christ, your woman is going to do the right things by you. If you're standing up for the Most High in Christ, if you're a warrior in Christ, there's nothing that woman going to be able to do to you that's going to stir you or take you out of the spirit. Because you're too powerful. Satan's going to try. Satan's going to try. But you're in the spirit, you're going to be able to auto-correct that through Christ. Now, in Ephesians, it speaks about the woman submitting to the man. But is there anything that the man's supposed to do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty.
Let's
read that. And the reason why I say it that way is because of the fact that we read these scriptures, and then, as Abijah already said, brothers from 30 miles with it. So you're supposed to listen. Wait a minute. But not only is a woman supposed to listen to her husband, guess what, husbands, brothers, you also have a responsibility of listening to Christ. It doesn't stop at you, because we have to listen and honor and apply what Christ teaches us as well.
So let's read some of that. What was the man supposed to do?
You want to keep going to verse 23 or jump down a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
You know, going back to 22, it says the woman was supposed to submit unto her own husband, to her husband, as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So why was it as unto the Lord?
It's as unto the Lord, because the husband, who is the head of the wife, and Christ is his head. So what the husband is supposed to be is that image of Jesus Christ in the household and righteousness.
So,
in other words, he's supposed to be bringing that teaching, the understanding of thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jesus Christ in the household.
Right. Question. Can you expect a woman to submit to you if you're not submitting unto the Lord?
Nope.
No.
Not going to happen.
No. And it's something that men, you know, in the world, you know, you have to repent and come unto Christ to really truly understand these concepts and these scriptures are saying. But brothers that's in the church, you having issues with your wife or your wife is going crazy, it's like you have to ask yourself a question. Are you listening to the Lord? And definitely I see the comments that's in the chat room by colored people. Yeah, you have to be equally yoked. Because I was in a when I first came in this truth, I was in the truth, while I was learning the truth, and the woman who I was with at the time, she wasn't. She wasn't. We wasn't agreed. I was like, I ain't keeping Christmas, man. That ain't right. That's paganism. That's, you know, that's satanic. That's not in the scriptures. Like, well, I'm Christmas tree, all of that. So that's not equally yoked, you know. But I was in a situation where I was already with this woman, and I was in the truth, but hey, you're in the truth, you're in the scriptures. You're not supposed to be looking for a woman that's outside of the scriptures. It's just like, okay, you're trying to go and grow a baby in a test tube. I'm a grow me a godly woman. No, you know, you watching it grow from an embryo, and it's splitting into the four cells and this and that. And like, okay, yeah, I'm going to marry my baby that I just grew in this test. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not going to happen. You got to find a woman that's in the Lord. And that's why many people are many men are going crazy over women, trying to beat women, murder women, killing women, because they're not serving the Lord. They have no understanding what this thing is all about. A woman is a beautiful thing. A woman is a beautiful thing. She was created to be a help unto the man and him serving God, and they were both supposed to serve the Heavenly Father together and enjoy the blessings that the Most High had created for them. But instead, what have we brought upon ourselves is death and woe and sorrow. And Satan just uses us and plays us off against one another because that's all he wants to do is destroy us. Christ wants to give us life and life more abundantly. Satan wants to destroy us. And many people are destroyed in their relationship. Many men are destroyed and they're fighting against their women because they don't want to serve the Lord and Christ. About you had something to say? Somebody had something to say. There's somebody humming and over there.
Nah, it basically goes back to, you know, when the man's house is out of order, he said most men, you know, they look at the woman like, okay, I'm the man, I'm the head, you do what I say. Or just, you know, you're getting kicked back and feet back and all this other stuff. It's like, okay, that's when it's time for the man to start looking in the mirror at himself and taking inventory. That's how it works. Because, you know, if she's supposed to be a reflection of you, first of all, we have to understand that men are not perfect and women are not perfect. Because the Lord spoke about that when I think it was Peter was asking him, you know, when he said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? You know, when he sinned, the Lord said, you know, he said seven times. He said, no, seven times 70. So, again, that's not talking about that, you know, you can step out on your wife, a woman can step out on her husband and she, seven times 70. You ain't talking about those things. This is talking about those times when y'all get annoyed at each other. When y'all snapping back at each other, okay? Y'all getting in little arguments and things like that. There's tension in the house. Or he won't pick up his clothes. Or she always leaving a cup in the sink. Just the little stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And when it's not dealt with correctly, blows up into the big arguments.
Right.
That definitely. You're dealing in charity when you have a man that's trying to deal with Christ and you have a woman also that's trying to deal with Christ, then that means that, okay, being that the Lord is over this marriage, because that's who the head of the man is. Okay, people forget that we want to leave that part out. We just want to be the man, not the head, damn it. When the Lord is over that relationship, that union, okay, let me, the man says, okay, let me see what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, because things are out of whack here. And if you have a woman that's trying to deal with the Lord and you're not trying to make that woman deal with the Lord, then guess what? She, in turn, was basically with her love basically towards Christ and wanting to fulfill that role of a righteous woman, she's going to follow suit. And they're both going to exercise that charity to work those things out. That's how it works. Now, it ain't going to happen overnight, you know, because we all deal in pride and anger and the lust of the flesh and things of that nature, want to hold on to grudges. But through the Spirit of the Most High in Christ, that's how we purge those things from us and come back and be on one accord.
Absolutely. And I just want to close up with some words of encouragement, you know, for brothers out there, you know, that's going through it. Because I know many, many men out there is going through it and they're just lost. They, you know, they're pulling their hair out like, I don't know what to do. But read this. Get Second Timothy 1 verse 7 and read that.
Alright. This is the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
Yeah, many men, you know, they have so much fear. This woman is going to take my child. They have so much fear. This woman may be, you know, stepping out on me, as Abaja said, or sleeping with some other man. And, you know, there's a good example of that with Abraham. When Abraham went into Egypt, Sarah was a beautiful woman. And he was afraid that, look, they're gonna kill me because of my wife. So he said, go tell everyone you're my sister. So the king of Pharaoh took Sarah. And the Most High made him have a dream, like, you sleep with this woman, I will kill you. So the man's like, what? What did you do to me? He's like, I didn't know this was your wife. You was about, you know, have me in trouble in the whole land. That's the power of the Most High. See, when you're dealing with the Most High, you don't have that fear. Because Christ is the King. Demons were afraid of him. They cried out when they saw him. So anger is a demon. It's a spirit. That fear is a spirit. That hate is a spirit. But when we deal with Christ, we're more powerful than any of those things. Through the love and the sound mind that Christ has given us. We have to realize that. Our power isn't going and fighting and trying to hit up on a woman. Our power is always in Christ. And let's get that, Philippians 4 and 13.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Read it again.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Read it like you mean it.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
All things. Did it say some things?
All things.
So, can you deal with an angry woman?
Yep.
Can you deal with her words and anything that she says and brings against you?
Yes, you can.
Can you help her and teach her?
Oh, yes, you can.
Can you lead your family?
Oh, yes, you can.
Can you be that man of the Lord?
Hey, man, we ain't had to make this a Bible summit, but yes, you can.
Can you be that teacher for your children?
Yes. I like that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you be that teacher and put that hedge around your wife? Because she needs
yes,
a hedge. She needs to be protected. The Lord says she's a weaker vessel. So why are you trying to beat someone that's weaker than you? You're supposed to be there to show her and teach her, and then she can do her job and help you and comfort you while you serve the Lord. Because we have too many enemies to be in and have enemies in our own homes. But that's where Satan wants to bring the fight. He wants you fighting when you go out fighting on your job and struggling and you got all kinds of pressure and you fighting the bills and this and that and you have no peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy and long-suffering and temperance. Brothers, sisters, we have so much power in the Lord, but we don't use it. We look to Satan for our power. We look to anger. We look to hate. But that's not our power. We'll always be mightier in Christ. So remember these words and turn to the Lord because he is our strength. He is our shield. And through him, we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. So giving all praises to the Most High in Christ, this is Kings and Priests, the brothers and sisters from the Body of Christ Church. Until next time, we say shalom.
Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, he will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth. Thank you.
Think you know T-Mobile's coverage? Think again, Atlanta. We've doubled our 4G LTE in the ATL in the last year. Plus, with our new extended range LTE, your signal goes 2 times farther and is 4 times better in buildings than before. So you're covered inside and outside the perimeter. Now nobody covers Atlanta better. Nobody. What are you waiting for? Switch to T-Mobile or call 1-800-T-Mobile today.
Capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. See T-Mobile store for details.